God's counsel for our emotional health, right out of the book of Proverbs. Emotions are a key part of being a human being. Laughter produces pain-killing endorphins. It strengthens our immune system. It also decreases stress. When under stress, we produce a hormone called cortisol, reports Psych Central. Laughter significantly lowers cortisol levels and returns the body to a more relaxed state. However, the need for emotional health is great in today's world. This need exists even among national political leaders. Ken Martin, who's the Democratic National Committee chairman, furiously threw his phone at the desk of an aide in a fit of rage last month as he deals with mounting pressure over the DNC's financial woes, the New York Times reported. The unsettling outburst came ahead of the high-stakes midterm elections as the remarkably cash-strapped DNC is relying on a $15 million loan, its largest ever off-year borrowing, that saw the committee put up its D.C. headquarters and other assets as collateral. It's a great need for many people in extended family relationships. A recent Dear Annie column cited a letter by worried mom in the middle of the mitten that read, "My daughter has several cousins about her age. Over the years, we've been the ones reaching out to make plans, but the effort is rarely reciprocated. Recently, several of her cousins spent time together just minutes from our home. Our daughter happened to see them, and it broke her heart. She came home asking why she wasn't invited. I don't want her growing up wondering why she's never included or feeling like she has to earn a place in her own family. If our relatives ask why we're no longer attending every holiday or gathering, I simply want them to understand that I'm choosing to protect my daughter's heart." This is also a big need in a case involving the state attorneys who are representing the Department of Children and Families. A man who says he spent more than two decades held captive inside a Blake Street Waterbury home is now accusing the state of hiding evidence that he could prove child welfare officials repeatedly failed to save him, according to court documents. The state argues the claim should be dismissed because it was filed years later, saying the deadline passed around 2008. The man's code name is S, and S's attorneys argue their client was still locked inside the family's home at that time. The state fails to acknowledge that in 2008, S lived in a captivity as an imprisoned, malnourished, and psychologically damaged 15-year-old child who was legally incompetent to file a notice of claim until after he obtained his freedom. The concept suggested by the state's attorneys that S ever could have made a claim under those horrific conditions is preposterous, wrote attorney Brittany S. Cates of the Fox and Law Group in New Haven. So we ask, in view of the apparent need today, what counsel does God offer for our emotional health? It's amazing. Ever since COVID, and if you get online, you can see this information, there has been what they call a rising psychological crisis in the United States, especially with children, young people, and so forth, because of stress. And this is something that affects emotion, so it's big. Well, God's wisdom, his chokmah in Hebrew, or his fixed eternal moral order for success and blessing, applies to many issues of human concern, including the need of emotional health. So we view Proverbs as translated from the Hebrew biblical text in the book of Proverbs that inform us about God's advice on attaining emotional health. God is very interested in the health of the inner man, the inner you, the person that's there. And as a first priority, God wants us to address our own personal emotional health needs as follows. Let me just stop there. A lot of times, people are wrought up or devoted to trying to address the needs of other people that have emotional needs when they themselves have their own set of emotional needs. What God is concerned about is taking care of ourselves. We have to make sure that we are healthy on the inside before we can turn around and help other people. So if you're here this morning and you're sensing there's a weakness there or there's a vacuum in your own emotional welfare, what God wants you to do is to focus on that. Focus on that first and to meet the needs. First of all, Proverbs 15:15 teaches, all the days of the oppressed are calamitous, but the wholesome in heart have a continual feast. So nurturing one's inner heart keeps him from being affected even by oppressive trials. See, if a trial comes along and we're weak on the inside, it's going to get the best of us. But if we're strong on the inside, the trial comes along, we can handle the trial. Very important to take care of ourselves. Proverbs 15:13 adds, a happy heart makes the face cheerful, but an injury of the heart crushes the spirit. Notice again the need for a person to be healthy on the inside. If you're not healthy, you can get crushed. But if you're healthy, it's different. Proverbs 18:14 claims, the spirit of a man sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? Even there, in sickness, if a person is ill, if they're very happy on the inside, they can do very well. They can come, it actually helps them get over their sickness. But if they're crushed in the spirit, they can't bear it. Doctors will tell us that if a person is depressed, sometimes it's hard to keep them alive in the hospital. But if they're happy, it's very different. Proverbs 17:22 also teaches, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And it's interesting, the word bones in this context figuratively refers to physical health. So a cheerful heart actually acts like good medicine to overcome illness. But if you're not cheerful and you're crushed in the spirit, your health will go. We also need to set reasonably attainable goals to sustain our emotional health. Proverbs 13:12 states, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. So if we set a standard for our happiness way up here and we can't meet it, we leave ourselves open for unhappiness and depression. So God says, set reasonable goals. Proverbs 13:19 adds, a longing fulfilled is sweet to the life principle, but fools detest turning from evil. So if we go after evil, that's going to great problems as well. Proverbs 14:30 claims, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy, that's something, someone who desires what someone else has but he can't have it, rots the bones. So even jealousy there, and the bones is figurative, can hurt one's health. This is where being content with what we have, and that's what God calls us to do in Hebrews. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Contentment is a big, big issue in regards to health. And then we must associate with upright friends to sustain our emotional health. Proverbs 27:9 teaches, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. Being around a friend who's a good help really helps. And this is why it's so good to fellowship with others of like faith. Getting together with fellow Christians who love the Lord and who have the same belief system that we do, boy, is that edifying. Well, after meeting our own emotional needs, then we need to relate well to other people in sustaining our emotional health. We must respect the emotional feelings of other people. Proverbs 14:10 teaches us not to assume we know all about how others emotionally feel, but remain teachable in this matter. For each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. For a year, I was an associate chaplain at Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas, Texas, when I was a student there. And a number of times I had to deal with people who had lost loved ones. I'll never forget, there was a man who had just lost his wife. They were either a couple days short or they just had celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary when his wife died. And at the time I was in my 20s and I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to comfort this dear man? So anyway, I went to talk with him. And the only thing I could think of was saying, you know, sir, you have achieved a great track record. You've been married for 50 years to this woman. Not too many people can say that. And so I respect you and I want to compliment you for your long marriage. That cheered that dear man up. And I was so grateful that the Lord led me to say that to that dear fellow. Because in a situation like that, what do you say? A lot of times you don't. And sometimes, I'll never forget the night, there was a woman, she was in her 30s. Her son was killed in a car accident. He was stopped at a stoplight, and a drunk ran the light and crashed into him and killed him. The boy wasn't doing anything wrong, 17 years of age. They took him up in the hospital. They did brain surgery on him. He didn't survive. And they brought his body down. It was in the gurney there, and I had to go with the mother of this boy into the elevator there where he was. And she tried to speak to him, tried to wake him up and everything. Of course, he wouldn't respond. And afterwards, I didn't know what I was going to tell this lady. She said, "Chaplain, why did that happen?" And I said, I don't know. This, your son didn't do anything wrong. I said, it just shows the problem of alcoholism. It's a terrible scourge and affects us. But I didn't know what else to say, but she was encouraged. And sometimes I found as a chaplain, I couldn't say anything. I just there. But the people were appreciative of the fact that I was there. But when people are going through pain like that, we can't tell them, "I know how it feels." You don't. They know how it feels. We don't. So we have to be considerate of other people. And Proverbs 14:13 adds, "Even in laughter the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief." Proverbs 25:20 calls us to be sensitive to the feelings of others, claiming, "Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on soda is one who sings songs to a heavy heart." There's a time to sing a happy song, and there's a time not to sing a happy song. If other people around us are angry, we do well for our own emotional health to try to diffuse their anger. This goes along with our Sunday school lesson this morning. Proverbs 15:1 states, "A mild, gentle answer turns away wrath, but a word that hurts stirs up anger." Proverbs 19:11 calls us to avoid needless anger ourselves. "Teaching a man's prudence gives him self-restraint. It is to his glory to overlook an offense." Proverbs 19:19, however, shows the limit to our efforts to diffuse anger in other people, "For a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you'll have to do it again." So sometimes you just have to let him go. Finally, for our own emotional welfare, we need to stay true and edifying words to other people that nurture their whole inner man and even their physical health, besides giving a framework for us to relate well with them. Proverbs 15:4 claims, "The tongue or the speech that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." So a tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. The tongue that brings healing is a tongue that tells the truth. And we need to be kind in how we tell the truth, but always tell the truth. And Proverbs 16:24 adds, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the life principle," the nephesh, that's the spiritual, the emotional, the mental, inner man, "and healing to the bones." The bones here is once again figurative for physical health. So pleasant words have an enormous impact on people. Pleasant words can make them feel good internally and also can eventually affect their health. Amazing. So the lesson is, for our emotional welfare, God counsels that we first care for our own emotional health and then relate to other people well. The spiritual enabling for both of these steps involves one's trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and the reception of the Holy Spirit, that's application one below, followed by relying on the indwelling Holy Spirit for his nurture and his equipping, like Galatians 5:16, and 22 and 23 teach in application 2 below. So the first application is, may we trust in Christ who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. And along with that gift of the eternal life comes the indwelling presence of God the Holy Spirit. If there's a person who's struggling with emotional health, whether someone's here this morning with it, or maybe there's someone who's listening by way of MP3, or a friend that we know, an associate, they have to come to know Christ as their Savior first. And the reason I say that is, if they don't know Christ, they don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. And to overcome this emotional problem, they have to have God the Holy Spirit, who created them, indwelling them. And then the Spirit of God takes over, and he can really nurture them. But they have to know Christ as their Savior. And number two, may we rely on the Holy Spirit for the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control we need to heed the Proverbs on emotions. Notice how those qualities feed into helping emotions. Love, joy, peace, gentleness. We need the Spirit of God. We need to rely on the Spirit of God. Now, to illustrate the message and provide additional guidance, the transformation of human emotions by God's power was evident in the Trans World Radio story of a recently evangelized pygmy people in a remote area of the Central African Republic. This was a tribe of people who had not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They lived in complete darkness. And all of a sudden, it changed. It began with a simple device, a solar-powered radio. Over 3 days, May 26 to 28, 2025, TWR, Trans World Radio personnel, distributed radios. These would be solar-powered radios among the pygmy people. They communicated the message of Jesus Christ, his love, his sacrifice, his power to forgive, his call to a new life. Elders gathered under trees in the evenings. Families sat together after long days of hunting and gathering. The radio speakers told them of a God who knows every person by name, who is not distant, who entered human suffering, and who offers life that death cannot defeat. The message was unlike anything they'd ever heard before, yet it resonated deeply. Men and women began to ask questions. Who is this Jesus who loves even the forgotten? Why does his message bring peace to our hearts? What does it mean to follow him? Local believers and ministry partners traveled to these communities answering questions, teaching from the Bible and explaining repentance and faith and new life in Christ. Then came December 30th, 2025. Near a river that had long sustained the community, people gathered, young and old, men and women. One by one, they stepped forward, some with tears, some with quiet smiles, some holding hands with their children. That day, 249 members of this pygmy community publicly confessed their faith in Jesus Christ and were baptized. For many, this was more than a religious event. It was a declaration of dignity, a proclamation that they are seen, that they are loved, and that they are called by God. See, that tribe thought that they were forgotten, that God didn't pay them any attention. They were way off in the jungle somewhere in Central Africa. But they learned that that's not true. God loved them, he knew them, and he wanted them to be his people. So may we trust in Christ who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life, and may we then rely on the Holy Spirit for the enabling needed to apply the Proverbs on emotions. Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful for the fact that the Word of God addresses every need of the human race. And the Word of God here in the book of Proverbs a number of times addresses the issue of emotional needs. And boy, is that a big one today. We live in a world where there's a lot of stress, a world where there's unrest. People often live in anxiety and fear. And this solution, Father, we know, is found in the salvation that is offered in Jesus Christ and the indwelling presence and comforting, working ministry, edifying, nurturing ministry of the Spirit of God who comes within and dwells within a person when they puts his faith in Christ. And as believers, we need to rely upon the Spirit of God for maintaining that emotional health that is so necessary for us to function in today's world. I would ask, Father, that if there's anyone who's listening by way of the MP3 who may be in our service this morning, who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that before the day's out, they would say yes to Christ and believe in him that they might be saved. And Father, as believers, if we're in need of relying on the Spirit of God this morning, getting back into right relationship with the Lord in order to take care of some emotional needs and problems that we have, I ask, Father, that we would see the importance of getting into right relationship with the Lord and leaning on him for his help, for his encouragement, and for his emotional health nurture. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.